Welcome to the podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, hello, friends. This is D.A. Bennett coming to you with this week's podcast for St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church. And I just really hope and pray that wherever you are listening to this today, whatever you are doing, whatever your purpose for listening to this today, that you are blessed where you are. We are in the midst of an unusual and a historic time in our nation because of, not just our nation, the entire world, really, because of this virus that is going around. And as we were praying in preparation for this, the words of an old hymn came to mind. And I think you'll remember these lyrics when the hymn offers this prayer, asking God to melt the clouds of sin and sadness and to drive the dark of doubt away. And what I want to add is melt the clouds of sin and sadness and sickness and any doubt this is creating in your mind about God and who God is and what God is trying to do. I just hope that melts as we listen to this today and that you are drawn closer to Him. With me in studio today is my good friend, my partner in ministry and mission, Pastor Stephanie Greenwald. And Pastor Stephanie, as you say hello, why don't you kind of recap the series on what we've done?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this series has been really cool because it has helped us to really think, really ponder, really pray a lot about what God is wanting to say. Right. And so it's been really neat. And some of the things that we've talked about, things like God's judgment versus His compassion, how those two things can go hand in hand when they seem sort of contradictory. But then also, one of my favorite episodes that we did was the question, why does God allow suffering?
Yeah, it's such a hard question when we stop and think
about it. It really is. It's just one of those that it really causes our faith to grow. And that's the thing I love about how God allows us to have faith, because it really does grow the more we're in relationship with Him, and our ability to believe and to act on that belief and to grow as disciples of Christ is just pretty cool that He gives us that
Absolutely.
To do.
Absolutely. Well, today we've got another, I would say, a tough question to tackle. I think it's a great question. It's one that probably if you come to church a lot or attend a church a lot, you just have some assumption here. But the question we're going to try to deal with today is Jesus really the only way for us to receive salvation? Now, you can drive around a metropolitan area, and it's not unusual to see a bumper sticker that has all these religious symbols on it,
right?
And it says coexist. It's like, religions don't get along, or I've never really been exactly sure what the driver might be communicating, because I think there's different ways you can interpret that. But I think of my teen years and growing up on the north side of Oklahoma City. One of the things that you knew was there were a lot of churches. And beyond that, there was two synagogues that I was aware of, one in North Oklahoma City, one in South Oklahoma City. But today, if you drive around the metropolitan area, there's still a lot of churches, there's still the synagogues, but there's a mosque, there's a center for Hinduism, for Buddhism, for other world religions. And so let's start with this question as we try to answer the big questions. And Stephanie, how would you answer someone? What reply would you give if someone that, really didn't know much about the church or about any particular religion, what if they came up and just said, well, aren't all religions essentially the same anyway? How would you answer that?
I think that's a really interesting phrase. It's when we taught the world religions class a couple of semesters during midweek, one of the things that I just was reiterated for me, because I had taken world religions as a class, as a concurrent enrollment class when I was a senior in high school.
Wow.
I took it at Tulsa Community College. And I remember that was kind of my first dose of other religions, because as many of you know, my dad's a pastor. So growing up in the church, I had a big dose of Christianity and the Methodist version of it. And so hearing other religions and the foundational aspects of those religions was really eye-opening to me. But then revisiting it here a few months ago when we taught the class was just interesting to me because, you know, are all religions essentially the same? Absolutely not. But do they have similarities? Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Right. And the thing that I think the more I've studied into world religions, the thing that is fascinating to me from what I know of God and what I know of his creation, it is fascinating to me that he puts within us, within his creation, a desire to seek him.
Right.
It's a desire to know him more. And some people, because the world is very broken, people seek in a lot of different ways. And sometimes they hear lies, and so they follow after those lies. And sometimes they do hear the truth, and they do connect with the truth, which is God, and they follow after him. But in all of these religions, what we see is something very similar, and that is this desire to connect with a being greater than ourselves.
Right.
And so, yes, they are similar, but they are definitely not the same. And that's where we as Christians have to be able to tell our story, and we have to be able to tell what is different between Christianity and other religions. I think it is sad when Christians have the ostrich effect, where they stick their head in the sand when it comes to other religions, and they only want to know about Christianity. Because if you don't know about the other religions, how can you ever talk intelligently with someone of another faith in order to help them understand more about the Christian faith? So, but no, I do not believe that they are all the same. And the big reason that they are not the same, number one, is that Christianity stands out because it is monotheistic. You know,
exactly.
It really only three of the world religions are. It's Islam and Judaism and Christianity, this idea of one God and one God alone. But then Christianity, of course, is so different from even the other two religions because of Jesus Christ.
Right.
So what are your thoughts about it?
I agree with you. I think absolutely they're not all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And by sameness, what I'm thinking is who we understand God to be.
Uh-huh.
and what then is the goal of the faithful life.
Mm-hmm.
They are similar. I think most all religions seek to have some type of moral
mm-hmm.
code,
yeah.
You know, universal goodness in people.
Right.
You know, don't steal, don't hurt people. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. there's that moral code that we have. And one of the things I think can be confusing about religions is some of them are somewhat related to the Bible.
Uh-huh.
For instance, a dominant world religion, continues really to grow, is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Right.
And one of the reasons we are in disagreement with them is because of the Book of Mormon.
Yes.
Beyond that, though, they still take their roots from the Bible.
Right.
Old Testament, New Testament, and then they say the Book of Mormon is another
right.
Testament. So there's that Bible-ish kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Islam goes back to Abraham.
Yes.
They see themselves as descendants of Abraham.
Yes.
So yeah, there is some sameness and perhaps even a little bit of a root that seems to be the same,
mm-hmm.
but they're not. When we start thinking of other world religions and some of the ones that we taught in the class, I believe we taught on Hinduism
right.
and Buddhism.
Yeah.
In some ways, Buddhism seems to be what I would call a religion of the head. It's seeking enlightenment.
Right.
And it's got all these, you know, thoughts. Buddhism kind of related to mm-hmm. Confucianism, and some
yeah.
will remember, you know, Confucius say.
Yes.
You know, and that's, it seems to be a head.
Yeah.
But I love what you talk about when you say the difference for the Christian faith is that we are seeking God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about a relationship with a living God, not a God we're afraid of,
right.
not that harsh, judgmental God mm-hmm. that we talked about a few episodes back
right.
in our podcast. So are all religions essentially the same? At one level, there are similarities.
Right.
But sameness
no.
does not seem to fly. And
no.
of course, I think the big thing of that, of course, is where you ended too.
Uh-huh.
You know, we've got to deal with Jesus.
Yeah.
So while these differing religions may have similar truths in regards to morals and standards and ethics,
mm-hmm.
There is that different understanding about a mm-hmm. monotheistic divine being. And Christians believe that Jesus is the fullest and the best revelation of who God is. So when we think of this, and if it ultimately is all going to come back to our understanding of who Jesus is, that really makes it different. You know, what is unique about Jesus? Again, if thinking in terms of someone that's not really religious, but perhaps are seeking on a level, and okay, so if all religions aren't the same, what's unique about Jesus?
Oh, yeah. It's like, how long do you have? I love talking about Jesus. you know, if I put it in layman's terms, you know, I'm going through seminary classes right now, so my head is stuck in books that are on crazy theological levels of...
So you're not going to talk about the hypostatic union between the human and the divine today. That's what I'm hearing you say.
No, I'm definitely not going to talk about that because I've been reading about it too much.
I think I've forgotten some of that. So.
Right. I'm impressed, actually, that you remember that. The thing that I would say is that how incredible it is in our Christian faith that a God who is greater than any being that could ever be imagined, a God that is separate, and hear me on this, he's separate from creation, which is a different view of many other religions, because other religions believe that the gods were connected to creation, that they couldn't survive apart from creation.
Right.
But that was one of the big differences when Abraham came along and there was this new faith and that kind of thing, was that that God is transcendent. It means that he is separate from creation. He doesn't depend on us to be and to exist.
Right.
And so we've got this God who is so great, a God that can, you know, create light and dark and order out of chaos and all these things that we see in Genesis. And then that God would care for his creation so much that then he would come to show us who he is in Jesus Christ, but not only just come to show us who he is. I mean, that's an incredible thing all by itself. If Jesus would have just come to be a representation of God and that was it, that would have been amazing. And especially compared to other religions, that would have been incredible. But not only that, but God then decided that he would right the wrongs of humanity himself and take the wrongs upon himself through a form of torture and death so that we don't have to. I mean, that's the difference of Jesus Christ.
That really is part of the uniqueness of it, because again, I think in some other religions, there's still that thought, no, you have to pay the price, and you have to do this, and if you can accomplish these things, you can kind of climb this spiritual ladder. I'm thinking mostly of Hinduism,
right.
From the lowest rung to the highest rung, and once you get there, you can ring the bell, and you know,
wear your Nirvana t-shirt.
Exactly. So I interrupted you. Keep going. You're sharing great stuff.
Well, I mean, I think that is really, that's the gospel message, is that God wants to dwell among us. He wanted that in the beginning. That's how he created us in the Garden of Eden. Then we fell. Then he makes this incredible way to then dwell again among us. And we see that all throughout the story of the Israelites. We see it from the prophets as God tries to call people back to himself, and he remains faithful even though we are not. But then we see the fulfillment of the writing of this wrong that has happened, that he took it upon himself to make it right. And then we take that even a step further, that because of Jesus Christ, then we get to enjoy what John saw in the book of Revelation, that we get to enjoy this new Jerusalem, this new creation, where we get to go back to what God originally intended, to dwell with him forever.
Yeah, that God is going to make all things new again. Whenever I think of this and what is unique about Jesus, and you've already touched on this, is this whole idea of incarnation.
Yeah.
That God, and this is how we usually talk about it around Advent, that God left his heavenly celestial glory to come and be human.
Yeah.
And live like us. And again, this is different from other religions, because other religions, not all of them, but some of them would say what we as humans do is we try to become divine.
Yes.
And that's not what we're trying to become. We're mm-hmm. trying to connect with God. Mm-hmm. We want to be in the presence of the divine.
Yeah.
But God coming down to be human, the whole idea of the incarnation is different. One of the other things I would say that's different about Jesus is he just had a different life.
Yeah.
You know, than founders of other religions.
Yeah.
You know, I really haven't read about others that did all these miraculous healings, or or maybe they did some, but they didn't walk on water.
Right.
Or, you know, maybe they recruited somebody to bring all this food in, but, you know, Jesus just took a little food and fed, you know, 5,000 men, plus mm-hmm. their wives, plus their children.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly how many people there were. And so in his life and in his ministry, just his whole purpose of who he was different. And for me, and this really becomes the central focus of all we believe, the central focus of mm-hmm. all that we proclaim that makes Jesus unique is he rose from the dead.
Yeah.
You know, there's a saying, it's a little trite. I don't mean to just interject cliche, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's like you can go to the grave of Muhammad.
Yeah.
And he's there.
Yeah.
And you can go to the grave of the Buddha or Confucius.
Yeah.
And they are in the grave. But if you go to the grave of Jesus,
yeah.
he is not there. He's risen. And you know, there some people try to write that off as a mythology, mm-hmm. saying that, you know, even though Jerusalem, the whole Holy Land, was under the influence of the Roman Empire, mm-hmm. culturally, they were still very Greek and Hellenistic, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And both those groups, the Greeks and the Romans, had their mythologies of gods that would come down and live among humans, but they didn't typically live as humans.
Right.
And if they were killed, how do you kill a god? you know, that they would then rise from the dead. But none of those stories, none of those mythologies mm-hmm. have the historical weight of evidence that we can find for the resurrection. And if people want to know more about that, I refer them to the Lenten podcast series of 2019, where we talked about the resurrection theories and different theories that they are. So, mm-hmm. you know, that God became human and dwelled among us, that Jesus lived and did things nobody else had done, and kind of the power behind it all is the resurrection.
Yeah.
That is what makes Jesus unique.
Yes, that's right.
So now let's get to the big question. We've talked about, you know, not all religions are the same. They have similarities. They're not all the same. Jesus is unique. The big question. So as Christians, why do we believe that Jesus is the only way? And I'm going to give a caveat here because both of us have grown up in the church and we've been around people in our tradition that don't believe that.
Right.
And I'm not just talking about members. I'm talking about pastors that don't believe that.
Right.
And our view is that Jesus is the only way. Mm-hmm. So comment on that. Give us something from Scripture that helps us understand this.
Well, sure. I mean, when we say, why do we believe that Jesus is the only way, my short answer is because that's what Jesus told us.
Right.
That he did not beat around the bush. He didn't say, well, there's many ways, you know, you can get to the Father.
Many ways to the top of the mountain.
One of them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He didn't say that. He was actually very clear in the Gospels. And that's one of the things that I love about Jesus is that he was clear. There were some things that he said that to those who are perishing sound pretty foolish, but to those of us who are being saved, it is you know, the truth, and it does make sense, the power of God. But one of the things that comes to mind is the passage from John chapter 14, where Jesus is talking about the way to the Father. So, you know, if you profess to be a Christian and you profess to believe in Jesus Christ, but then you don't believe what he said, to me, that's a complete contradiction. So if we are going to believe in him, we need to believe what he said. And what he said was, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And if we lead into this passage of Scripture, he's actually talking about trusting in God and not letting your hearts be troubled and trusting in Him. And then he says, there's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I'm going. I mean, this goes back to what I just said a few minutes ago, that God wants to dwell with us, and Jesus is the way that He made for that to happen. And Jesus states it right there. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and there's plenty of room for everyone,
right,
should they choose to accept it. But then he says, I am the way. And, you know, some people, I've heard many people argue that this is a very exclusive religion, you know, that it's not inclusive, it's exclusive because of the fact that only certain people can get in, or you have to believe to get in. My thought is, it is the most inclusive that you can possibly be, because he offers this gift to everyone,
right,
without exception, without rule, without condition. Everyone is offered the gift. We have the free choice about whether or not we accept it. And who wouldn't want to follow the God that is incarnate in Jesus Christ? You know, I'm just like, wow.
Yeah,
what are your thoughts? Tell me what you're thinking.
I'm sitting here. One of my favorite songs to listen to, I love getting in the car, and this song's on the radio, is that song, Waymaker.
Oh, yes.
You know, he's the Waymaker, the miracle worker.
Yep.
He's the promise keeper. And as I understand the context of that scripture you read from John 14, that is the start of a really lengthy passage, about three chapters long at least. Where Jesus is in the upper room with the 12, and he is telling them, you know, don't let your hearts be troubled, because he knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think Thomas was the one who said, Lord, we don't know.
We don't know what's happening.
We don't know the way. What are you talking about?
And
when Jesus says, I am the way, one of the things I kind of think about with that is that Jesus saying, look, man, you've always followed me. Yeah. I've never gotten you lost before.
That's right.
I am the way. You follow me and do that. And, of course, the scripture I think of in regard to this actually comes just, you know, a few days later, 40 days, I believe, 50 days, in the season of Pentecost.
Yeah.
And we read in Acts chapter 2 about what happened that day.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of chapters later in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John have been called before the Jewish council.
Yes.
And they're being accused of things. And, you know, Peter and his life was so changed by Jesus, but it is really powered and really transformed on Pentecost, when he is just filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And he tells them, he says, look, we're being questioned today because we healed this crippled man in Jesus' name. It wasn't us. It was the power of Jesus that did this.
Yeah.
And then Peter gets some preach on him now.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? He gets some
preach
on him. That the people, he says, they were healed in the powerful name of Jesus Christ of Nazarene, the man you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. And then he says, there's no salvation anywhere other than this. There's salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved.
Yes.
And so, you know, when we think of what he says in John, I'm the way, and we think of what Peter, not just speaking his own words, but words that are anointed and empowered by the Spirit of God to speak truth and say, there is no other name.
Yeah.
If you want to find the way to Jesus, if you're looking for a name to call upon to save you, there is but one Savior.
Yes.
And so that's, you know, why we think Jesus is the only way.
Mm-hmm.
Again, to some people that sounds foolish. And to some people, and I'll be honest, sometimes I think, yeah, God, really? Come on. You know, I can't get past the resurrection.
No.
You know, that Jesus is the one that rose from the dead to make a way for us to be in God's presence for all eternity. And so that is why, even though it sounds exclusive, because we're saying that's the only way.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we're quoting what we believe is the Word of God,
that
is the only way. But you're so right in saying, but it's not exclusive. Anybody can believe
in Jesus. Yeah, exactly.
You know, anybody can come to Jesus.
Yeah.
So we've got a little time left, and let's go ahead and talk about a question that is likely to rise up. I don't want us to dodge the question because it's out of our comfort zone.
Oh, good.
But kind of to give some context about this, a few years back, and I meant to look up the name of the young man, there was a young man that actually went to Oral Roberts University.
Yes.
You and I both had some experience
there.
Not at the same time.
That's right.
Even
love
the same
that
decade. maybe not even the same millennia. I don't know. But
no, it was.
And he just really had a passion for sharing the good news of the gospel mm-hmm. with other people. And there's a small island in, I believe it's the Indian Ocean, and outsiders are not welcome there.
Oh, wow.
In fact, the tribe of people who live on that island, one of the reasons outsiders are not allowed is, one, because the natives would probably kill them, but two, is because others have said, look, if you allow people to go to that island, you're going to take your sicknesses and your diseases and stuff, and you could wipe out an entire population that doesn't have that kind of immune system.
Wow.
But this young man, full of passion, perhaps even foolishly, wanted to do what he could do so he could go tell them about Jesus, because surely they had never heard about Jesus. The sad part was he did not achieve his mission, and he was killed.
Really? Wow.
And so that's just one example of, so what about those people on that island?
Right.
That no one has ever been able to share Jesus with them. Mm-hmm. Is there any hope for them?
Yeah.
To receive salvation.
Boy, and that really is a tricky question. I keep coming back to the passage, and I should have looked this up, and I apologize that I didn't before we started recording, but the passage in one of Paul's letters, I believe, where he talks about we will wait really until everyone has the opportunity to hear, like Jesus is waiting to come back until we've all had the opportunity to hear. I'll never forget going to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. Last year. And one of the rooms in the museum is a really big room. It is, I mean, it's larger than your office here. And it has books from floor to ceiling in it. And it is the translation. It's every translation of the Bible.
Every language that has been translated. Yeah.
Yes. And then there are all of those Bibles. But then the other half, literally, the other half of the room is filled with books that have no words in them, because that is the number of languages that have not yet been translated. And so to look in that room and to see that there's that many people who have not heard the written word of God, you realize how much work we have left to do to get the gospel message to so many people in the world. So, you know, I firmly believe that God wants to share his message with everyone. And that's part of the reason he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. I was just reading about this today, and it just sort of awakened my soul to something new, because we were talking about, I was having a conversation with this person about the passage where Jesus says to Peter, you know, who am I? And he says, you are
the Christ.
The Christ, the Messiah. Yeah. And he says, well, you're the rock on which I'm going to build my church, and I'll give you the keys to the kingdom, and whatever you loose in heaven or loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whatever you you know, bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And to be honest with you, that passage has always kind of confused me. It's like, well, what do you mean by we're loosing things on earth and heaven and binding things up? What does this mean? And the person that I was listening to was talking about how these keys, you know, a key is used to unlock something. It's used to lock something or unlock something. And so when you see this image of Jesus giving Peter the keys to the kingdom, it truly is saying the church is going to have the power to lock and unlock the door for people to come into the kingdom. And it is our responsibility to share that message with others. And, you know, you and I do it here in Oklahoma City. I have an uncle on my husband's side who's been doing it in Mexico for the last 40 years. You know, we all do it in our own way.
Right.
But again, it kind of comes back to what I said earlier in the podcast. We need to be able to tell the story. We need to be able to say why Jesus is the only way. We need to be able to tell people in an intelligent and I dare say persuasive way that Jesus is the way to the Father. And we do that in our context, in our setting, in our calling. But for those people who maybe when Earth comes to an end, who have never heard, I kind of tend to believe that at this point, everyone will be able to have heard. That one way or another, God will have made a way for them to hear. I also believe that God is grace-filled and is always looking for ways to invite people in. So I have a feeling that he has a way of doing that even beyond our scope of understanding. But anyway, what are your thoughts?
No, I agree with you. I mean, the key word going through my mind is the word grace. Mm-hmm. And if we take that question, people that have never heard, then you've got to take all the people who lived and died before,
right, before
Jesus was
Christ
born.
Came, yeah.
And I think a proper understanding of the Old Testament is to always show that God offers grace to all people. Mm-hmm. He chose a people to call his own,
yes,
that they might live in a way different from everybody else, so yeah, people would reject their other gods and believe in the one true God. Mm-hmm. And so the foundation for all this really is the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I just have to say the grace of God, even though I can explain it in some easy ways, is so much richer and so yeah, much deeper than what I can explain, because I really don't understand it all.
Yeah.
I also want to say that I do think that there is a mystery to God. There's just some things God has not revealed to us. And that's why when I talk about the uniqueness of Jesus, I say he is the fullest and best revelation of God.
Yes.
And when we understand that, I think God only intends for us to be responsible for what we have received.
Yes.
And so when we receive that message, I'm the way, the truth, and life. There is no other name. We're responsible for how we're appropriating that and understanding that, and then how we have to deal with that.
Yes.
And yet the larger context is that's what God has given to us. Mm-hmm. Let's, again, let God be the compassionate judge that God is at the end of the day.
But yes,
for those of us that are listening, we really have to weigh, you know, we've received this truth. We've received this message that was given to us. How then do we respond?
Yes.
And friends, it's always our hope that whatever we are sharing, when we give our thoughts and our opinions and everything, that, that somehow or another, it really is helping you as a disciple of Christ to grow in your faith and grow in your relationship with Christ. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, gosh, I don't know what I've ever done, it's our hope that, that you will consider what it means to have a relationship with Christ, and that you would turn from whatever it is you're following as the God in your life to serve the one true God. We're so glad to be able to share with you today. Again, our prayer in the midst of this difficult time is that God will melt the clouds of sin and sadness and sickness. He'll drive all of our doubt away. Normally, this is a part of our podcast where we invite you to church, but in this quarantined time of social distancing, we truly hope that you will tune in for worship with us Sunday mornings. We're only doing one service at 10:30. You can find that on Facebook Live. You can find that on our YouTube channel. You can find it most easily, perhaps, through our website, saokc.org, or if you do have our mobile app, you can watch it through our mobile app as well. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Hope to hear from you soon. Hey friends, D.A. Bennett, St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. I want you to know that we are discovering some real blessing and benefit of digital discipleship, but we also want to talk to you about subscribing to our YouTube channel. Again, it's under the church's name, and you'll get some different video devotions each day. So if you're looking for another venue, maybe it'll work for you. God bless.